chapter 2 before we do the first part, and there's a reason for that. One is that you need to look at chapter 2 prior to part 1, a kind of the sequel before the prequel. And the reason why is because this is like the preparation for the promise of the Holy Spirit. So we got to be prepared, and that little yellow card is part of that. And second reason is because there never comes blessing before repentance, and then the blessing, and then the healing. And that's how we've seen it in the ministry for years. So that's why we're going to talk about it. So I'm going to do 8 observations on how 3,000 people broke bread and had fellowship and kept unity. Now, some of you know this story because I told it before to some other people, but we're going to read from Acts 2:37 to the end of the chapter. So I'll read that as soon as I tell you the story. Josiah's coming back from Israel. He'll be back tomorrow morning. He went with a group from Athey Creek. And it just brought back memories of when Tony and I went over and Josiah was with us in the womb. So this is really his second trip. And when we were leaving France to fly into Tel Aviv, there were a whole airplane full of Jews. And it was incredible. It was this big, heavy-set French guy with the handlebar mustache telling a whole plane full of Jews, sit down. Because all they did was they wanted to trade seats and sit by the window and this and that, and they're all over the place. And this big guy comes in and goes, sit down. I don't care if that's your seat or not. Sit down right now. And everybody's like, oh, you know. He was a riot. But it was like that. It was like a cross between the Big Fat Greek Wedding and Everybody Loves Raymond. I'm telling you, it was crazy. They were just nuts. So it's like, how does a bunch of Jews have, you know, unity and fellowship in the midst of, you know, getting saved? So first thing I'm going to read, and we're going to pick it up at 37. Now, when they had heard this, what was it? It was when Peter was preaching. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received this word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them amongst all, as everyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Okay? So, why do we do the second part? Because you have to see what led to the first part. And there were certain things. So, first thing, Peter's message was to men and brethren. It's kind of interesting because it's like, why didn't he just say brethren, or why didn't he just say it to all? We need to repent to get the gift, verse 38. Look, there's a difference between the blood and the cross. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sins, plural. The cross of Christ lays the axe down at the sin nature that you have. Okay? The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sins, 1 John 1:9. Sins, the things that you act out. But the cross of Christ kills the sin nature. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And that's a whole other teaching that we do with Romans 7 and stuff. But just take it for what it says. I have been crucified with Christ, and I don't live anymore. Now, you say, well, you know, that thing pokes its ugly head up. Yeah, because, well, that's what happens with a living sacrifice. It crawls off the altar. It's got to stay there and be dead. If you really, really died, it's kind of like a corpse, you know. Does a corpse have anything to say or do, or, you know, nothing? No. So the blood cleanses the sins, the cross kills the sin nature. Okay? An exchanged life produces a changed life. Everybody's always taking these courses and this and that, and all they're doing is white-knuckling things or pushing beach balls underwater and keeping them down. Doesn't work. You have an exchange life with Christ. I don't live any longer, but Christ lives in me. And you've got to let him live more than you do. So, the one who finishes is the one who accepts daily a disciplined dying and renounces a competitive voice of self. This little self thing that wants, I want what I want when I want it, that's the thing that has to be dead. Me, 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 girl, me, 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 me. All right, so here's a little saying, okay? All of self, none of God. Okay? All of self, none of God. Less of self, more of God. None of self, all of God. I don't know if too many people will get to that third one, but we're all working towards it. I'm 33% sanctified. I don't know how you guys are doing, but, you know. So there's no such thing as Christian con carne. You know, the Christian with meat, right? And there's no such thing as corseting the flesh. You know what a corset, remember the corset? You used to go like this and pull the strings and make the flesh look pretty, and after the corset went, all the flesh just went back to where it was. You can't corset the flesh. You have to crucify it. So, the flesh has to die. Next time you go by Dairy Queen and it says DQ, I want you to think of die quietly. Really. When you see DQ, just remember, die quietly. Because we make a big ruckus dying. The flesh makes a big ruckus dying. Okay? Kathy, remember that, okay? When you go by DQ, die quietly. Now, he says to the men, isn't that interesting? Men and brethren. Why the men? Take her out, would you please? That's right. The men, yeah, the women were watching the kids, right? Listen, they need to lead by, the men in the family need to lead. The problem is, it starts with the men, though, because when they think the two become one, they think the one is them. But that's besides the point. 80% of the time, if a man gets saved, the rest of the family gets saved. If he gets saved first, 80% of the time, the rest of the family gets saved. 50% if the woman gets saved first. 20% if the kids get saved. Now, I know our culture is very youth-oriented and everything for youth and this and that, and the youth are bringing their parents to church, and thank goodness they got there anyways. But the men are supposed to lead. And that's why we've done this, really, this whole fellowship has been turned upside down to make the men step out when we're having the elders' meetings and stuff like that. It's the men to step out. All right, so that's observation one. It's to men and brethren. And it says men lead out, but the brethren are supposed to repent. Okay? Us. It's to us. We got to repent. We don't wait for the world to repent. We need to repent. Observation two, repentance always precedes blessings. Okay? Always precedes blessings. That's what it says here. Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Christ Jesus. Mark 6. They went out two by two. They preached repentance. They removed spirits, and they received healing. Boom, boom, boom. Mary anointed Jesus with alabaster ointment, okay, as a sign of repentance and prepare him for burial. A broken vial holds no vileness. I know these are little trite sayings, but these are things that the Lord showed me when I was reading through these different things. A broken vial holds no vileness. When you break your vial over Jesus, all that vileness, all that unforgiveness, all that stuff should vanish. And it should be take the perfume of Christ on. Devotion is the key. I want to read you something. This fits especially tonight. One of Satan's most perverse schemes is to establish a wrong estimate of church strength based on worldliness, popular language, numbers, size, social position, finances, ability, learning, eloquence, fashion, intelligence, influence, all those things of the world. The strength of the church lies in its devotion to God and in holiness of its members. That's it. The strength of the church lies in its devotion to God and holiness of its members. You know, what do you think everybody asks when you're starting a church and they ask you what? How many people come? That's why I tell them between 400 and 500. Okay, that just everybody laughs and gets them off my back, you know. But I said I'd rather have 100 people, all of us, that are a mile deep, than 1,000 people that are inch deep. Because that's where your devotion comes, you know, to the Lord. Remember when we talked about Peter and Jesus back and forth? Peter, do you love me? Yeah, I'm fond of you, this and that. Remember, Jesus was the devotion. I want the love of devotion. And Peter was going, I give you the love of emotion. And that was it. God doesn't want the leftovers. He wants the full course. Wants everything. And we give him the leftovers a lot of times. So, all right. So that's observation two. There needs to be repentance. Observation three, verse 38. Still, the gift of the Holy Spirit is different than the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay? This is talking about a singular gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. No Holy Spirit, no action, no ministry. That's it. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can go spin your wheels all day. You're not going to get anything done. You'll be frustrated. You'll do it out of the flesh. And it was anything out of the flesh profits nothing. So, I got true-false questions. Who anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit? Anybody know? Acts 10:38. God. You can say it then, Al. As God the Father anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Next one. By what power did Jesus cast out the devils? Matthew 12:28. Anybody? By what power? By the power of the Holy Spirit. That's right. And now for the third one. Ta-da. Where's those million-dollar bills? Have we got one tonight? Who is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit? Mark 1:8. Jesus. Oh, my goodness. We got God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus all mentioned about with this baptism thing. So, the Godhead is three in one. You know that, right? Plurality and unity. What's one plus one plus one? Three. That's not a trick question. One plus one plus one is three. Trent knows that. He's the CPA. What's one times one times one? One. See, it's just how you look at things a little differently. But God doesn't need, God is a Godhead, three in one, but God doesn't need a quadhead. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and me. Right? Me? I got to get my two cents in? We got to help you guys out a little bit? No. Sorry. God doesn't need a quadhead. He's just a Godhead, and he's doing fine. All right. Observation 4, verse 39. For the promise is for you and to all your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. The promise is for you and your children and to all that the Lord calls. That's what this promise is for, the Holy Spirit. So it didn't stop back then when they died off. It's still going. Who is eligible? All flesh. Whom does the Father give the gift to? All who ask. You got to ask. I mean, if somebody gives you a gift, if you don't open it and receive it, is it your gift? No, it just sits there. So, all flesh is eligible, and he gives the gift to all who ask. What did Holy Spirit do for the disciples? He gave them power to witness, like we did last week. Remember Acts 1:8? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He gave them the power to witness. Okay. So I remember when we first started the ministry and I was down in Eugene teaching for George Fox. It was 1991. And I don't know, I always get these words because Tony's the wordsmith and I get these words and I'm like, I got to look them up. But I remember going back and forth about the ministry and just starting out, and I was working for George Fox and putting food on the table and just starting the ministry, and I was sitting in a Denny's in Eugene coming back after teaching from 7 to 10 o'clock at night, and the Lord said, stop questioning and start sequestering. I'm like, what is that? That's like weird. But sequester meant go and grab something and occupy it. Go, do it. Stop questioning. So I looked it up. That's what it meant. So I said, okay, Lord, then I got to stop questioning. That's how the ministry started. All right. Observation 5. The Holy Spirit is never more needed than when believers live in a perverse generation. Okay? That's verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Crooked. You think we live in a perverse generation? More than even back then? Where ours is just high tech. I guess they had the same stuff, but ours is just high tech. taught an ethics class at Shekinah Bible School where I teach. And in the class, in the book, this is what some of the ethics are. High school students, 71% cheat at least one time each term on test. 71%. 92% lied to their parents at least two times a month. Everybody said amen. 3-1 margin, people say that truth is relative to a person's situation. So relativism has taken over. Integrity, listen to this. 77% do not observe the Sabbath. 74% say it's okay to steal if it's not missed. 64% lie, say it's okay to lie if it suits you. 53% cheat on the spouse if they were given the chance not to get caught. 50% do not work 1 out of the 5 days, and for government workers, it's more. Not kidding. That's what the stats were. 50% say that they waste 1 out of 5 days. Isn't that amazing? 8,000 teens lose their virginity every day in the United States. And by the way, I don't know if you saw that on one of the news things this week, but the U.S. is a leader in STDs. 1 in 4 Americans have an STD. So wicked society, listen what wicked means. The Greek wickedness means perverted delight in wishing ill to others. That's what wicked means in the Greek. The perverted delight in wishing ill to others. God didn't say if society would repent. It says if my people will repent. And how many of us have wished a perverted delight in wishing ill to somebody? Anybody got keep their armband on lately on one wrist? No. So he didn't say it to society, and he didn't say it to the government leaders. He said it to, if my people will repent and pray. And that's why we're in a mess that we're in. We blame it on Hillary. We blame it on, you know, Osama bin Laden or whatever, you know. It's not. It's us. It's a people. If my people will pray and repent, then I will heal their land. Now, from wickedness to bless. This is the word bless. To ask God to intervene in another's life to bring them into a desired relationship with him. That's what blessing means. Asking him to intervene in another's life, especially ones that come over for Thanksgiving, to bring them into a desired relationship with him. What you feed breeds, and what you starve leaves. How do you like that? There's little tidbits and stuff. But really, when you think about it, what you feed is going to breed. What you starve leaves. The opposite of perverse is holy. We've lost holiness. God swears by his holiness, Psalm 89. Holiness adorns his house, Psalm 93. We're to partake of his holiness, Hebrews 12:10. We've lost holiness. Isaiah 6, right? This is where we get the holy, holy, holy song, okay? Holy, 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 3. Gee, that's interesting, 3. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Holy, holy, holy. Woe, I'm a man of unclean lips. Lo, and go. If you read those three things in there, you'll see the woe, lo, and go. I think that the woe is to the Father because it says, I've sinned against you. The low is the sun because it talks about cleansing. You can look it up. It's in Isaiah 6. And the go is the Holy Spirit to be sent out. So first of all, you have to know that you sin against the Father, that the Son cleanses you, and that you can go, then get sent out by the Spirit. That's why this second part is all about repentance. The first part's then about receiving the Holy Spirit, and then chapter 3 is the healing. So that's why I think that's what the Lord's doing with us. Tonight is a repentance time. Next week is about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then the week after that's the healing. That's how it goes. Observation 6, verse 42. And they continued steadfast in the doctrine of the apostles, fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers. The strength to remain steadfast in doctrine, prayer, and unity is via the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the oil, right? The oil of the Holy Spirit, it keeps the gears nice and loose, moves them around. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, Zechariah 4. Now, we've talked about this before, the Logos and the Rhema, remember? The Logos is the written word, and the Rhema is the living, the word that you get when you're in communion with the Lord, and he talks to you. So, it says, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That word is Rhema, the Rhema word that he gives you when you're quiet enough to listen. God's voice is you abide in him. And we've said this before, but the word without the spirit, you what? Dry up. The spirit without the word, you blow up. And the spirit and the word, you grow up. That was our one prayer when we started this, is that, Lord, help the word and the spirit together in a balancing act. I don't want to have one side or the other. It's a scale. But if you keep Christ in the middle, he's the fulcrum. And he'll keep those scales balanced. Keep the focus on the Lord. Observation 7. Signs and wonders follow the gift, not the other way around. Okay? So 43 is number 7. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Signs and wonders follow the gift of the Holy Spirit, not the other way around. You don't go chasing after it. The Holy Spirit's not a bellboy. The Holy Spirit's not deaf, although he likes to get rid of deaf and dumb spirits. But he's not deaf. So he's not motivated by the volume of your voice or how much the cymbals get clanged and how strong the cymbals are clanged. We heard that in one place. Like, bang the cymbals and drive away the devil. I'm like, oh my goodness. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman and he doesn't violate your will. You have to surrender and submit. So, 3 little questions. What should a Christian be about spiritual gifts? 1 Corinthians 12:1 says you shouldn't be ignorant about them. So one, don't be ignorant about spiritual gifts. What and how many are the gifts of the Spirit? 1 Corinthians 12:8-10, if you count them, there's 9 of them there. Okay, so there's 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And what and how many are the fruits of the Holy Spirit? In Galatians 5:22-23. 9. I don't think that's a coincidence. Right? If you got the gifts of the Holy Spirit is 9 and the fruit of the Holy Spirit is 9, they go together. How many people do you know that make a big deal about the gifts and you wouldn't see, you know, the fruit that they have is maybe like a pea or something, you know? And then some people have a lot of the gifts or the fruits of the Holy Spirit, but they don't believe in the gifts. They go together. The gifts and the fruit go together. There's 9 of each. Like soup and sandwich, like Ricky and Lucy, you know? They go together. All right, last one, observation 8, verse 44-47. The church multiplied as praise to God and favor with people were added. That's multiplication. Okay, 44. Now all those who believed were together and had many things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them amongst them all as everyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So the church multiplied as they praised God and they had favor with people. They had all things in common. Now, I'm not asking you to sign up or anything tonight and saying let's put everybody's title deeds in the basket or anything like that. But this in common was spontaneous and it was voluntary. And it was a community of believers as they saw the need. Forced community is communism. This was not forced. This was all voluntary and spontaneous. And they all took care of everybody as they saw a need, and as a need was there. I remember some of the dark days in the ministry, and the Lord said, I've invested much in you, and I want a return on my investment. Well, we do belong to him, you know. Do you guys ever get stuff like that? I mean, I get that stuff. It's like, oh, Lord. So, invest. He invests in us. He wants a return. So how do we get to invest back? Studying his word, prayer, quiet time, sharing, giving, caring, praise and worship, sharing the word. I mean, really, he's not asking for a whole lot. In fact, if you only gave him 10%, never mind your salary, but gave him 10% of the day, you should give him 2.4 hours 24 hours. I don't know. I haven't done that a long time. Trying to. So, this is what I'd like you to do with those cards. Usually we have like three little questions at the end and ponder during the week, but I would like you to take those cards, and I want them to be repentant cards. And I want you to write down, in fact, if you need to move away and go to another seat, I want you to write down the secret sin that only you and the Lord know. And I'm not going to collect them, but I've got a shredder over here, and you're just going to come up and shred it. That's it. Just put it through the shredder at your own leisure. But just take some time and say, Lord, you know this, and I know this, and maybe nobody else knows it, but I need you to heal this. This has got to get dumped. And so that's what we're doing, is we're doing the repentance. Next week's about the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't happen without repentance first. And it's not politically correct in the church to talk about repentance, but I don't care. It's in the Lord. It's in the Word. So just take some time. Don't let anybody see it. When you're done writing, the Lord shows you. Go up there. That's already on. Zip it through. And go back. And maybe Steve can play some music in the background. Because otherwise the shredder goes on. Well, we only gave you a 3x5 card if you would like. We do have legal size paper if you'd like that.